smile. And I feel like I know this place. There's a tree line breaks in the wide open space.
Hi, everyone. I am about to do an opening riff, but before I do, a note to the two callers on the line right now. We have a feeling that you may have called the show seeking a psychic reading or answers from a psychic. And if that is indeed the case, we want to let you know that unfortunately we do not offer that service. This show is a show about philosophy and philosophical questions. To continue with the opening riff, this is Gary welcoming you to the LL Research Radio program In the Now Q&A with Carla and crew. Today is Tuesday, January 14, 2015. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. The crew in the title refers to those of us at the LL Center, beginning with Jim McCarty, Carla's husband, scribe for the Raw Contact, and president of LL Research. Austin and I, devoted seekers of the Law of One, manage LL Research from the home office. LL is a nonprofit organization dedicated to freely sharing spiritually oriented information and fostering community. And towards this end has two websites, the archive website, llresearch.org, and the community website, bringforth.org. We will be discussing questions that come from you. If you would like to ask us a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. If interested in submitting a question when we're not on air, please visit our show's webpage at blogtalkradio.com/llresearch. When sending us questions, please remember that this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Gary, and we are talking with Carla L. Ruckert and the home crew of LL Research. Is the home crew on board and ready to go for today's show?
We are.
We are, and you guys are wonderful.
Ready to go.
Wow, thank you very much. I would agree. Today's opening quote comes from January 14, 2018. I was right the first time. August 26, 2006. Quote says, "We lift to you a beacon, and that beacon is yourself. We ask you to see yourself for the first time, clearly and lucidly. Light courses through you, not from you. There is no effort to being who you are. There is only the removal of blockage from the passage of light. And you do not have to move the furniture of your life out of the way of this light. You have only to check and be sure that it has not gotten rumpled and thusly has obscured the passage of this light. Make sure that chimney which goes through your heart and out into the waiting world can open very safely, very clearly, and very cleanly."
Thank you, Gary. To this. The Creator's love, light, and light, love are ever-present vibrations in the universe, creating it and causing it to be. The sun sends these energies to the heart, and from the womb of the earth, the energies come back up towards all of us. Mind, body, spirit complexes, as Ra calls us. All of us people. Entering through the feet, coming up through the body, and out the top of the head. Energizing the chakras as they go. And resting in the open source of our light. It comes through us, not from us. We do not create it. We simply have it in ever infinite amount, truly. As Kuo said, there are ways to rumple the furniture in our minds, in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our actions. So that we are blocking one of the chakras going into the heart. Something in our personal life, perhaps. Something at our work. We want to make sure that those momentary lapses do not last. That we let them go. So that there's always a clear path for that love light, light love. Close your eyes, that wonderful energy coming through us. We are like lighthouses. We stand on the shore and we allow that beautiful light to come through us and illuminate the stained glass windows that are our beacons to the outside world. And when a soul in need is looking for the light, we're doing anything, we're not being fancy, you know, we're not having some kind of ritual or anything like that. We just are. And our essence lights up those windows. Why are they stained glass and not clear personalities? We're not just blah, you know. We have our eccentricities and quirks, our ways. And those are all good. And they color the light, all the beautiful colors of the rainbow. Question many of us ask ourselves. We came here passively to radiate light. We came here to be lighthouses and to join in groups to be larger lighthouses with a brighter light, greater reach. And we form groups like LNO Research, hopefully to allow all of us to be more effective. There are a million and one ways to get distracted from this picture and to allow life's many difficulties to get us down and to block that light. But, oh, guys, let's not block that light. Finally made it here and woke up and remembered who we are. Now let's use it. Let's be clear in all the many times that we aren't. Let's simply turn around and get clear and get clean and do our job. Do this job, commuting, working, in sickness and in health, I'm happy to say. I can do this job even though I'm stuck in not a problem. As long as I stay clear and clean. Sometimes it's a challenge. Oh, honey, it is. You can do this thing. So let us do it together. I love you. Amen.
Amen, and beautiful message, Carla. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Before we move on to the questions that were sent in advance, we have one caller. Caller, with whom are we speaking today?
Hi, is it me? Am I on?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the name?
Am I on?
Yes.
My name
yes,
is Patricia. Oh, thank you. Just first of all, I wanted to let you know I can barely hear you, and I'm listening in through the telephone just to let you know.
Yeah, you're kind of faint on our end, too. There's no way
okay.
to really increase our volume except by talking louder. So, is this better?
All right. Yeah, thank you. And can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Okay. Very well. My name is Patricia, and this is the first time that I'm calling in. And I do have a question, and I hope I can ask this question. It's not a psychic question. It's a spiritual question. A lot of just a bunch of stuff has been happening to me, and I think I'm channeling at different times, and I wanted to find out if, like, I'm going heavily into the dream state at night and going into other realms, and I wanted to ask you if that's like a precursor to me doing channeling, or I guess I'm just a little confused because just so many spiritual things are happening to me. And I'd like to find out what spirit is doing to me. Where are they directing me?
I teach channeling.
Okay.
And every once in a while, we have a get-together with the people that want to learn. And we haven't had one for a while, so if you're interested in joining us for a channeling intensive, sign up with Gary. The address for that is contact@llresearch.org. Or you can do it on the Blog Talk Radio address. And he'll put you down. Meanwhile, there's help. One of my intensives was recorded. I cover the same material each time. So you can go to our website, our archive website, www.llresearch.org. And in the meetings section, look for that transcribed group of lessons. You're welcome to read them. You're also welcome to read my book, Channeling Handbook, which is online and which you can buy as a book also if you go to our store. I don't mean to throw a lot of addresses at you, but hopefully you've got a pencil. And our address for ordering such is www.bringforth.org, bringforth.org. And you can find
okay.
the book there if you want to order it.
Okay.
What don't you have?
I'm sorry?
Have you got all that?
Yes, and I'm going to be listening to the archives. It's a lot easier for me.
Okay, very good.
Because I try to take in everything while I'm listening, and then later on I come back and listen. Yeah.
I think probably the best thing for you right away would be the first lesson in the channeling intensive and the first chapter in my book that's recommended, which is something about So You Want to Be a Channel. I haven't looked at it for a while. I think that will begin to clue you in on my attitude towards channels. I tend to try to talk people out of being a channel because it is risky. And it should be done really in a group with an experienced channel leading. And those are hard to come by, I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really looking to channel, but I feel like sometimes when I talk to people, a message just comes through out of nowhere.
Well, you know,
and I don't even remember what I said.
You don't have to go outside of your own resources to have that happen, because spirit is with you all the time and pitches in when asked. So expect that and rejoice in it.
Yes, I'm very grateful that that's happening, because
sometimes
it gives...
Okay, well, that's what we can give you at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Patricia.
Bye.
And moving on to our questions submitted in advance. And Patricia, actually, if you're still there, I'm going to help be a little bit more exact. If you go to the archive website, llresearch.org, and go to click on the library section, scroll to near the bottom, there's homecomings and gatherings. Click on channeling circles, and there you will find the channeling intensives that Carla was describing. And the very first intensive was very teaching intensive. Carla spoke a course of 3 or 4 days and pretty much shared everything she knows about channeling, including the all critical and necessary aspects of tuning and challenging that are necessary for anybody seeking to channel, or as in your case, you said you're not seeking, but beginning to experience channeling, at least. So you may find that a helpful resource. And you are muted, so if you are listening and replying, we cannot hear you. Moving on to the questions submitted in advance. The first one comes from Valentino via email. Valentino says, in the Law of One, Ra mentions the Order of the Golden Dawn, and I assume that this was the order used for the protection rituals. I would like to know your personal results and any reservations about them as an order. To cut to the point, I have been practicing Kundalini Yoga, and it has been an incredible eye-opening experience to meditation and mysticism. So to protect myself, I want to go straight to a source I feel is noble, honest, and trustworthy for the rituals you used in protection before you meditate. I think this is a Jim and Carla question.
The ritual we used to protect, or to cleanse, actually, and protect the place of working was the banishing ritual of the lesser pentagram. And that may or may not be found in the Golden Dawn, I don't know. But where we got it was from W.E. Butler's The Magician, his training and work. And it's found toward the end. And he gives you the various words to speak and the gestures to make and the theory behind it.
It's one of the appendices in that book. So just turn to the appendix and you'll find it. It's called The Vanishing Ritual of the Lesser Pentagram, as Jim said. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was going to turn it over to you to talk to him about why he doesn't need to protect himself when he's meditating.
Oh, okay. No, you don't need to protect yourself when you're meditating. You're going within yourself, and you have natural protection. You're not attempting to reach any outer source. You're simply going within, into the silence. And you can simply sit anywhere. You can sit in a dentist's office. You can sit on a bus. Doesn't matter. Anywhere will do if you have solitude and the ability to focus. and you simply sink into the silence. Now, there are techniques for meditation, which I don't use. I simply look at the thoughts as they arise, let them fall. Look at the next one as it arises, and let it fall. And so forth. And you'll find, you know, more and more as you do this, you have periods of honest where you're simply sinking deeper and deeper into the silence. There are beautiful techniques for meditating in certain ways. I know Gary has studied a certain type of meditation, as has Austin. Jim and I simply meditate. We simply sit down and fall into the silence. Gary, Austin, you want to say about that?
No, not really. I do just have a very small interesting tidbit about the Golden Dawn, if Valentino is still interested in looking into the Golden Dawn. Memory I have of the Golden Dawn is I had a friend who was going through the process of being accepted into the Freemasons, and he was in the Freemasons, and I was giving him a hard time about the fact that they don't accept women into the Freemasons, and he said that what the Freemasons actually recommend for women who want to join is that they join the Golden Dawn because it's essentially the same thing. You learn about the same kind of magic rituals within the Freemasons as you do within the Golden Dawn. And according to Wikipedia, the three founders of the Golden Dawn were Freemasons. So there is some very specific order, magical rituals that you will learn through the Golden Dawn, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, and I know nothing about the Golden Dawn, so sorry, Valentino, I have nothing to contribute. All right, then we move on to our friend in Utah, JP, who via email wrote, I lost count of how many times Ra uses the word polarity in the five books. JP, I will answer you. It is 159 times. That is serious. As you know, it's at the heart of the Law of One. It says, in reality, there is no polarity. All is unity. All is one. But here on planet Earth, almost all is in some kind of polarity. Can't even have light, energy, or electricity without flow from positive to negative, not to mention male and female in most plants and animals. So for the lucky ones who are harvested into fourth density this coming cycle, I have a few questions concerning that I could not find explained clearly by the Five Law of One books. The first of JP's series of questions says, will we have figured out for ourselves now that there is no polarity, and truly realize that there is only the oneness, we, us, we are it? Or will it just be the byproduct of living up to the 51% standard of being, or both?
I believe there is a polarity all the way through mid-sixth density. The purpose of polarity really is to help us learn various lessons that eventually will result in us becoming and knowing the Creator in full. Also allows the Creator to know itself. So the polarity is drawn out somewhat. And though it is easier to learn a lot very quickly here in third density, with all of the problems we have with seeing through the veil and having to work sort of blindfolded, we have the removal of the veil as we go further into fourth and fifth and sixth density, but we still have polarity working. At some point, though, through mid-sixth density, that's no longer necessary to have a body or have polarity, and seeking can then continue in a lack of polarity and unified state. But before then, it serves a very important purpose.
Yeah, to my understanding, there's no way around polarity. One doesn't just simply realize, this is a unified universe and no polarity is needed. It's only through polarity that the seeking entity eventually realizes unity consciousness.
To remember that Ra is a sixth density entity, and Ra's method of teaching is to share what Ra knows with third density people. So we can't directly translate sixth density unity into 3D reality, that as we experience it, it's just not going to work. Polarity is the very essence of 3D. We use polarity constantly in order to gain personal polarity. We work to do service to others, to be of service to others. And the more that we can do that, the more that our intention has to do with serving others, the more we build polarity. When we don't have any thought to building polarity, when we don't try to serve others, we tend to lose ground. So it's sort of two steps forward, one step back. But please don't get discouraged, because that's the truth. It's just the way things are, and we just have to keep trucking. Keep doing the work. Keep doing those things that help us to be more aware of who we are and where we are. In other words, we tend to be anywhere but the present moment, the future, the past. You know, thoughts about, well, what if? And we're not spending enough time here, now. And it's a real trick to let go of our games and our convoluted thoughts and just be here. And be conscious of the present moment so that we can be aware of when we get a chance to help somebody or when we can do work that helps, you know, people in general, such as meditation. One is illuminated or not all illuminated. If we gain, the planetary consciousness gains. So there are lots of ways to work on your polarity and to build it so that you get out of the dismal dumps of, you know, the 30%, the 40%, and you make it over the hump to 51% or more.
I had a bit of trouble picking apart JP's questions one by one, so I answered in one big answer. So I might wait for the rest of the questions to be read before I dive into mine.
All right. We'll conclude JP's with Austin's response. Looks like we have plenty of time, too. Then JP's next question says, when does the paramount transition take place? Is it here and now in third density or in between lives or just being born into the new glorious realm of fourth density? That it will be automatic for us to realize the madness of war, the eating of other beings, the ego's perception of separateness, etc. Will we create the new understanding, or is that just how the higher densities are set up to be? But if it is automatic, is that an infringement on our free will?
Well, it's anything but automatic. I mean, there's a certain amount of automatic evolution that takes place because we're just set up to evolve. That's our nature. But we have to intend to work on this business of serving others in order for it to get anywhere. It's all the intent. At least 80% intent. So what you're intending doing when you start out to do something. What's your intent? And if you can't see anything that is going to raise your polarity in that intent, perhaps you need to work on your intention. Jim?
I don't think I've got anything to add to that. I thought he was talking about the paramount transition. That would be the transition to
Oh, well, I think that it keeps happening all the way through all of the densities, little by little. And we just have to be on board for each mini rise in awareness. We can continue becoming more and more aware in third density, and so can we in fourth density and fifth density. There are different ways of looking at our learning. In third density, we're simply trying to make a choice. Are we going to serve others? Are we going to serve ourselves? And we need to make that choice again and again, 51% of the time, as you said. In fourth density, we're learning the lessons of love. In fifth, we're learning the lessons of wisdom. And in sixth, we're learning the lessons of unity. All of these things go together before we are able in mid-sixth density to be unified beings with love and wisdom, both adding into our thinking in equal measure.
I'm glad Jim clarified that point, because I, too, like Carla, was thinking that JP was asking about when will third density transition to fourth density, but JP is actually continuing in the same trajectory of asking about the transcendence of polarity, I suppose.
I think that there may be sort of a conflation in JP's thinking between the veil and polarity, and I sort of, in my answer, was going to talk about that a little bit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and get it all out there. I answered in one big kind of general essay about polarity, because I saw what I thought was a little bit of confusion in JP's questions and not really a clear distinction between what the veil is and what polarity is. And so starting with polarity and the positive path, there's sort of an interesting dynamic in the positive path, because the positive path is all about inclusiveness and acceptance and openness to the way things are, whereas the negative polarity is kind of the opposite of that. It's about separation and control and disintegration. And this can be seen in the energy center configurations of the two polarities, where a service to others entity will have a full and balanced chakra system, ideally, and that is sort of what the positive entity is striving for, and the negative entity has sort of a control over the lower triad and completely omits the green ray energy center. So they're sort of built off of an omission, as Ra says. And so the fact that the service to others entity polarizes through acceptance and inclusion means that when we get to sixth density, as Jim and Carla have said, the sixth density is where we release polarity, there is an acceptance of this release and this sort of openness to the perception that we gain in sixth density of there not being any kind of polarity. And the service to others entity just sort of goes along with that. It is able to accept and integrate that experience basically when they reach sixth density without any trouble. They have a, you know, balanced and open chakra system. They're not going to meet blockage at any point in that perception, whereas a negative entity who is has gotten to that point through control and separation, basically it becomes impossible for them to deny this unity that is apparent in sixth density. And so in my mind, it's kind of stands to reason that the service to others path is the path of no polarity, and that's not to say that we don't polarize in our journey, but that the conclusion ultimately leads to this lack of polarity. And from our perception as positively polarizing beings, we realize that, Ra told us that, and we can basically go forward on our path understanding the dynamics of polarity and understanding that in the end there won't be polarity, while still accepting that polarizing on our path is the way that we will need to go. And once we get there, it won't be any issue to accept that greater truth of unity. And so the other part of JP's question is about whether or not this is automatic, and these things that JP mentions and his question about the madness of war and eating other beings and the perception of separation. Those things I would connect more to the veil than to polarity. There's obviously an aspect of polarity in those things here in third density, but I think that the reason we're able to do those things at all is because of the veil. And like Jim was saying, the veil is essential for polarizing. And we lose the veil once we go into fourth density, but these understandings of separation, the illusion of separation, are not present in fourth density, and it's not something that comes automatically. We have to grow and evolve to the point where we accept that reality before we go into fourth density. So the coming of fourth density energies on Earth doesn't necessarily force these realizations, so it's not an infringement on free will, like JP is saying, because we have to be able to choose for ourselves whether we're going to stay here and experience those energies or whether we are not ready and need to experience more of the veil to polarize to the point where we're ready for that. So on the surface in space-time, it might appear that humans will really quickly, over a period of maybe a couple generations, just be forced into a fourth density way of understanding, but what really is going on is just third density entities that aren't ready for that understanding are continuing their lessons somewhere else because this environment won't support it anymore. And I hope that that might clear up a little bit of the confusion JP was having on the veil versus polarity.
All right.
There is a connection, too, between the veil and polarity, and that polarity was a byproduct of the veil, and was not anticipated prior to the advent of the veil, but then upon implementation of the veil, the Logoi discovered that thanks to the veil, this whole other path is possible, which is service to self. Whereas I think, tell me if I'm wrong, Austin, this is closer to what you were saying in the first half of your response, that like service to others kind is basically, you're saying, is the path of that which is. It sticks to honoring the actual reality of or actual nature of life, whereas the service to self is the path of that which is not. It is the path which denies life and thereby forges this deviant or divergent path. Am I misunderstanding?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And essentially what I'm talking about is that in a positive polarity path, just accepting things as they are is what polarizes you as a being. And then essentially once you get to the point where the reality is there is no polarity, then you just accept that like you've always done on your path up to that point. So the act of polarizing up through fifth density is the same thing as releasing your polarity in sixth density. So the polarity dynamic is different, I think, for a positive entity than it is for a negative entity, because they struggle once they get to sixth density.
Ah, you move into mysteries which I do not plumb.
Or apple or pear.
or any item in the produce section. I do none of those. Jim or Carla, any thoughts?
Nope.
I think we've chewed
it
up and spat it out. Please ask further if we haven't covered what you need to know, beloved one.
And one quick thought, it was in keeping with where Carla was initially headed in responding to JP's second question. She was talking about intentionality and how that's necessary. And evolution does have, I guess you could say, a sort of automatic aspect to it, that and that rather than automatic, inevitable might be a good word, but it's always to the entity's choosing as to when that happens. Will they delay? Will they retard their progress? Or will they accelerate their progress and grasp the baton? So the intentionality cannot be negated from that equation. And there's a moment in session 82 where Ra talks about that. They're talking about the pre-veil situation, and they say, they're talking about that stairway. And they say, prior to the veiling process, the measurement would be, that is the measurement of evolution, would be that of an entity walking up a set of your stairs, each of which was imbued with a certain quality of light. The stair upon which an entity stopped would be either third density light or fourth density light. Between the two stairs lies the threshold. To cross that threshold is difficult. There is resistance at the edge, shall we say, of each density. The faculty of faith or will needs to be understood, nourished, and developed in order to have an entity which seeks past the boundary of third density. Those entities which do not do their homework, be they ever so amiable, shall not cross. In Gandalf style. It was this situation which faced the Logoi prior to the veiling process being introduced. So that's pre-veil, but I think it's pregnant with intentionality, that whole process. And I think the same applies even post-veil, but even more so. Actually, will is needed, faith is needed. So it's not automatic, but it's what the entity chooses to do with their evolution. All right. Our next question comes from Paul via email. Paul writes, "Hello, LL family."
Hello.
Hello, Paul. Thank you. In 75.24, Ra states, "There are many wanderers whom you call adepts who do no conscious work in the present incarnation. It is a matter of attention. One may be a fine catcher of your game sphere, but if the eye is not turned as this sphere is tossed, then perchance it will pass the entity by. If it is turned its eyes upon the sphere, catching would be easy. In the case of wanderers which seek to recapitulate the degree of adeptness which each had acquired previous to this life experience, we may note that even after the forgetting process has been penetrated, there is still the yellow ray activated body, which does not respond as does the adept, which is of green or blue ray activated body. Thusly, you may see the inevitability of frustrations and confusion due to the inherent difficulties of manipulating the finer forces of consciousness through the chemical apparatus of the yellow ray activated body."
I love that quote because of Ra's attempt at the sports analogy.
Yes. It was a fine tossing of the sphere which struck the batter out. "I'm wondering then," and this is Paul now talking, "I'm wondering then, is it possible for the wanderer who seeks to recapitulate the degree of adeptness it had through disciplined working with intelligent infinity energy to activate the green ray, blue ray, and or indigo ray body? Or do these activations require the death of the physical body complex or the pre-incarnative, shall I say, wiring and programming such as indigo children have?"
Well, I think there's a certain amount of recovery, you might say, or capitulation of the normal abilities that were present in the being before incarnating on Earth and going through the forgetting and the veil and all that. And that's done by a discipline and by what you were just talking about, Gary and Carla, setting the intentions and focusing on what it is you want to do. Now, for anybody, that's true, whether you're a wanderer or not. But I think for a wanderer, there's a slight asset in that there is a spiritual distortion that comes with the wanderer that will kind of be a support and a milieu in which this effort will take place. But I don't think that we could ever depend upon too much of it coming through, because really our third density brains and bodies, for that matter, really aren't wired for such. But we can make a great deal more progress than we do unless we don't seek and if we don't apply ourselves and don't focus and don't have intention. However, then you look at one like Jesus, and he realized a great deal of what was happening impossible. So
he seemed to bring so much of the original memory through the forgetting process that he didn't forget much. He didn't forget anything, really. But I don't think we can depend on that. I think we can depend on our forgetting, our waking up, and our working seriatim, day by day, moment by moment, situation by situation, and recognizing and responding to the chance to help people until that becomes so much a part of our that we're prone to think that way. And it takes some training to teach ourselves to think that way. It takes a lifetime. This is a lifetime work, a lifetime of work. And I wish us all good luck with it. But it's just one thing at a time. We can't do it all at once. If we think we've done it, we haven't done it. You know, it's like, I've got it. No, I haven't got it. And we just have to be satisfied with what we have at the present moment.
Very shortly, I think that the idea of different bodies is confusing for a few reasons. I definitely don't pretend to understand the confusion, but I might be able to point out where the confusion lies. And there's a raw quote that might help Paul. From session 56, question 19, Ra says, "The free will of third-density entities must be preserved. Thus, wanderers volunteer for third-density genetic or DNA connections to the mind-body-spirit complex. The forgetting process can be penetrated to the extent of the wanderer remembering what it is and why it is upon the planetary sphere. However, it would be an infringement if wanderers penetrated the forgetting so far as to activate the more dense bodies and thus be able to live, shall we say, in a godlike manner. This would not be proper for those who have chosen to serve." And in Paul's question, he had another quote. I don't think we need to read the whole thing, but it talks about adepts activating true colors within third density. And there's this confusion in the idea of higher density bodies and then these other bodies that we have here in third density. And I think that there's a part in the raw material where Ra goes through the different color rays and the bodies that are connected to it. And those are different from, say, your indigo ray body being your sixth density body. And I think that in the initial quote that Gary read when Ra says, we may note that even after the forgetting process has been penetrated, there is still the yellow ray activated body, which does not respond as does the adept, which is of green or blue ray activated body. I think that Ra may be intending possibly to say fourth or fifth density bodies there, but I'm not 100% sure. But according to the quote that I just read, wanderers would not be able to activate their higher density bodies. So that's the best I can do. There's a little bit of confusion. I think there's a topic on Bring Forth on this, Paul, if you want to do a search on the Law of One forum on Bring Forth, where people discuss this at length, and I think that it might help clear up the confusion.
That's a really interesting point that you raise, Austin, because it completely escaped my mind, that being that there may be a prohibition or bar on wanderers activating the higher density bodies. And that points to the initial confusion that I had resulting from Paul's question, because I don't know what precisely it means to activate a body and whether one can only activate one at a time and not multiple bodies. I ran a quick search or did some quick research on this. And Ra talks about color transfer, and by color I mean red through violet, red transfer, blue ray transfer, etc. So Ra talks about color transfer. They talk about color vibration, color body, and color circuitry. And in terms of body, say, for instance, at the moment of harvest, they say the entity will then transfer its indigo body into violet ray manifestation. After this anomalous activity has been carefully completed, the entity will move into indigo body. So that gives me the sense that the self occupies only one body at a time. In 47.8, and Austin referenced this one, Ra lists the seven different bodies. They say the red ray body is your chemical body. However, it's not the body which you have as clothing in the physical. It's the unconstructed material of the body, the elemental body without form. They say the orange ray body is the physical body complex, but is still not the one that we inhabit because it's formed without self-awareness. It's the same body that's in the womb. They say the yellow ray body is your physical vehicle, which you now know at this time. And this body has the characteristics and is equal to the physical illusion. And then, of course, in the sequence, they list the green ray body, which is the you might call ectoplasm and is seen in seance, and the blue ray body, they call it the devachanic. Indigo ray, they say, is the etheric body and is the gateway body. And then the violet ray, they say we could call that the Buddha body. And they go on to say, and this is where I'm confused again, because they say the indigo ray body may be used by the healer once the healer becomes able to place his consciousness in this etheric state. So does that mean that we can, I'm looking to Jim and Carla especially on this one, but all three of you, of course, does that mean we can invoke a body and use it or activate a body? Or do you guys have any thoughts?
Well, to invoke and to activate is pretty much the same thing. You have the open heart. That's your basic green ray body. And for healers, everything when you have intelligent infinity, you will bring the indigo and the violet, and not the violet, the indigo, the blue, back down into green ray, because you're going to be working from the green ray. You're going to be working from your heart, healer heart. But what is a blue ray body? Basically, blue ray has to do with telling the truth. And the indigo ray body has to do with the meditative body, the body that you sink into silence with. Jim, you want to clarify further than that?
Well, I think we can make small forays into various of the bodies, either, you know, activating them or being able to use them momentarily. Yeah, I think, though, it's like the magical ritual that Ra said, it was helpful to be able to do this, to do that work, and to begin to make oneself familiar with those energies. But it's only good for a certain period of time, and usually in our measurements, it would be a short period of time, some sort of a working, some sort of a purpose you'd have in a meditation, for example, or a healing, or speaking. And
counted
then,
at least in minutes, if not in seconds.
Yeah. Well, you might be able to maintain it longer, but there is such a degree of purity of intention and behavior, thoughts, words, and deeds, is necessary to maintain these magical positions that it's not usually possible to do it for very long.
Nor is it desirable.
Many. Right. So at this level of evolution, at the third density, I don't think that we are able to activate them for more than a few moments and for specific purposes of healing, transferring information, and so forth.
Austin, any thoughts?
That makes sense to me. I just had sort of a clarifying thought in regards to what I was saying about the confusion. I think that the question that Paul used, the answer, Ra's quote that Paul references, when Ra says, we may note that even after the forgetting process has been penetrated, there is still the yellow ray activated body which does not respond as does the adept, which is of green or blue ray activated body. Two possible interpretations might be that Ra is referring to somebody who has just recently penetrated the veil and they have not yet explored the idea of these other bodies, and so they're trying to do things like healing without the awareness of their green ray, blue ray, or indigo ray body. Or it's possible, like I was saying, that they were referring to the native density of the green ray activated body. But either way, Paul's question of whether or not through discipline working with intelligent infinity that you can activate these bodies, I think that Ra's answer that Gary referenced, where they go through the different bodies that we have, like the Devakonic body and the Buddha body, and they talk about people using those for different purposes, that kind of gives you your answer there, is that an adept can, with certain amount of faith, determination, and will, use these higher bodies. And I think what Jim said makes a lot of sense, that maybe not permanently, but for very temporary, specific purpose.
Mm-hmm. For instance, in the suggestions that W.E. Butler has for doing the vanishing ritual, he suggests that you mentally put on something, put on a ring, turn the ring around, put on a robe, do something that indicates that you are temporarily going to use a higher body. And then when you're done with the working, the robe, or you turn the ring back around or take it off, whatever it is that you are doing to remind yourself that you need to stay, for the most part, in your everyday body. That's the safe body. And that is, you know, probably green ray, hopefully. If not, yellow ray. Yellow ray is our native body.
And we can work with the energy of the higher rays, it seems. And if Jim and Carla are right, we can even temporarily inhabit the bodies of those higher rays. But to fully activate a body higher than the yellow ray body, it sounds to me, Austin mentioned in the Ra quote he initially read about the entity living in a godlike manner, to activate the bodies higher than yellow would be like X-Men sort of. I mean, you have a body that is not bound by the laws of gravity, or a body that can walk through walls, or can do things with the illusion that nobody else can do. And that entity would be completely separate and seemingly above everybody else, and would, I guess, wreak havoc on free will. So it seems that while within the third density illusion, we are stuck in a non-pejorative way with the yellow ray body active, and don't activate those other bodies until we're in the appropriate environment, the fourth density body for fourth density, so on and so forth. That's the best I can make of it. So that takes us right up to the end of the show. Carla, did you want to?
I want to tell you all that we love you, and we eagerly await your next questions.
You have been listening to LL Researches in the Now Q&A with Carla and crew. If you've enjoyed the show, please visit our websites, llresearch.org and bringforth.org. Thank you so much for listening, and a special thank you to those who submitted questions. If you'd like to send us a question before the next show, please read the instructions on our page at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll be here next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and we will talk with you then.
Stare at a bright red sun, search all day, never find.